John chapter 3 and verse 2, we have here before us another one of the night scenes of regarding Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. We are told the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. The same came to Jesus by night. We want this evening to consider this night visitor. What we see immediately in this passage of Scripture is that the Lord Jesus was a tireless worker. He was one who certainly redeemed the time. During the days of the sojourn upon earth, as the Apostle Peter said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And he went about doing good. He went about scattering his good deeds wherever he went, and changing lives by his miracle working power. Matthew 15, verse 30 says, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. Mark those words. Many others. And cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Doesn't say that he healed some of them. Doesn't say that he healed a few of them, but it says that he healed them, that is, all who were brought to him, and many others. Not one was turned away. Not one was refused his healing touch. Not one was told to come back another day. But rather he healed them, every one of them. He took time to minister to every soul that either came to him or was brought to him. And how busy Christ must have been that day to minister to so many people. How busy he must have been every day of his earthly ministry. For even at night, he entertained visitors. And his nights were nights of ministry as well as his days. And here in John 3, we are told about one such night when he readily received one who came seeking him. This man called Nicodemus. And here we see how ready the Lord is to receive seeking souls. He readily received Nicodemus that night, I have no doubt, after a long busy day. Yet he still entertained this visitor at night. There was no rest for Christ. And the Lord Jesus will receive sinners, whether they come to him by faith. Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus by night. And the Savior received him gladly. And I want us, with the help of the Holy Spirit this night, to consider this night's scene. The Lord Jesus receiving Nicodemus. We're not told exactly where he was. But Nicodemus knew where to find him. And wherever Christ was dwelling, Nicodemus went seeking him, and Christ received him. Let us first of all consider the individual who came to Jesus that night. The individual who came to Jesus that night was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Interesting, Nicodemus means innocent blood. And the one who saved him, the one who received him, was the one who shed his innocent blood for sinners. A man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was one of the many who had witnessed the miracles performed by the Lord Jesus in Jerusalem. For he says in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So Nicodemus had witnessed the miracle working power of Christ. We're not told what miracles the Savior wrought in Jerusalem, but Nicodemus had witnessed them. Indeed, if you look at the last verse, the verse 23 of the previous chapter, we read, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name. When they saw the miracles which he did. So Nicodemus was one of them. One of the many who saw the miracles which Christ did. And then we read, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them. And those strange words. First of all, we are told, many believed in his name. When they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them. The word commit is the word trust. But Jesus did not trust himself unto them because he knew all men. And indeed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So what is this all about? He had wrought many miracles in Jerusalem. Many had believed in his name and they saw the miracles which he did, and yet the Lord Jesus tells us that he did not trust himself unto them because he knew all men. He knew what was in man. And this simply means that the Lord Jesus knew all about the individuals who are described here as believing on his name. The Lord Jesus knew that those individuals who were had nothing more than been impressed by his miracles. It was the miracles that impressed them. And they had believed in his name as a miracle worker. But they had not believed in his name to salvation. As far as the Lord was concerned, these were nothing more than empty professions. We're told that because he knew all men, he did not trust himself to them. And then the chapter ends, for he knew what was in man. He knew what was in man. And he knew what was in this man, namely Nicodemus. And we see that Nicodemus, first of all, was a particular man. Now Nicodemus had been with that crowd, that number that had seen Christ working these miracles. But the Lord Jesus makes it clear that there was something different about Nicodemus. There was something genuine about Nicodemus. In contrast to the others who had seen the Lord's miracle working power. Because when you come to the first verse of chapter 3, there's a word missing in our translation that is in the original. It is the word but. That's how the chapter begins. So when we look at verse 25 of the previous chapter, and indeed, and need it not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man, but there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now surely that would, as it were, set Nicodemus apart from the others, but there was a man, there was one man. A ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee, by the name Nicodemus. The Lord Jesus, knowing what was in man, knew that there was something different about this man called Nicodemus. For while the others had just believed on his name because of the miracles he had wrought, here we have a man called Nicodemus, and he looks beyond the miracles. And he comes seeking the Master. The word miracle just simply means a sign, and they were signs of the Savior's Messiahship. And while others just saw the miracles, Nicodemus wanted to see the Master. He wanted to know more about the one who wrought the miracles. He looked beyond the signs. He wanted to know more about the Savior. For the others in Jerusalem that day, that's all they had seen, that's all they could see, were the signs and the miracles, but they didn't have eyes for the Savior or the Master. But there was a man. My friend, tonight when it comes to seeking Christ, you cannot afford to be anything else but genuine. People become interested in religious matters. They show an interest in the Lord. They may even make a profession of faith. But from that point on, from the time they make a profession of faith, there is no evidence, there's no visible evidence that a work of grace has been done in their hearts. There is no seeking after God. There's no seeking after the things of God. And with regard to those individuals, it might well be said that Jesus did not trust himself unto them because he knew all men. Many have made false professions, like those in Jerusalem that day. They were caught up with seeing the miracles, but they didn't see the Master. They didn't have eyes for Christ. Nicodemus had. He was the only one who came seeking Christ. Regarding the others, it might be described by the words of Paul, his letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews 4 and verse 2, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. And the number referred to in chapter 2 of John had evidently not placed their trust and faith in Christ. Christ knowing their hearts. We're told that Christ did not commit or trust himself unto them. My friend, when it comes to seeking the Lord, let's be genuine about it. Let's not fool around, but earnestly seek the Lord, even as Nicodemus did. So he was a particular man. He was a man of position. This man that came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus, was a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now he did not say not any. He said not many. And here we have one of the few noble and mighty men who came to Christ. Nicodemus was a man of position, a man of power, a man of authority. He was indeed a noble man. He was a ruler of the Jews. Some people think that it is only the unlearned and ignorant men who come. They believe that Christianity is only for those who would not be regarded really as thinkers or educated people. After all, how could anyone become a Christian and not believe in creation? After all, we thinkers, we educated people, we don't believe in creation. We believe in evolution. That's the educated view. That's the view of the educated person. And educated people don't really believe in heaven. Oh, and as for hell, there's no such a place. Therefore, those that become Christians, well, they're really unlearned and uneducated. Well, here we have an example, an incident which nails that lie. Because here we have a nobleman, a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus. He was a man who was a scholar, a man of learning and position, and he is seeking Christ. And what does this tell us? This tells us that the Lord Jesus will receive all comers. He will. Yes, he has his elect, but only his elect will come to him, and whosoever comes to him, he'll receive them. Bond or free, rich or poor, famous or infamous. Learned or unlearned, Christ will receive all comers. Isn't that what he has said? He has preached that. The Lord Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Him that cometh to me, whoever he or she is, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The Lord receives all comers. What an encouragement that is for sinners. They may come as the deepest dyed sinner, yet the Lord Jesus said, "I will in no wise cast you out." They may come as the greatest hypocrite that ever lived, yet Christ says, "I in no wise will cast you out." They may come to him as the greatest drunkard or drug addict, the most immoral person in the town, yet if they come to Christ, the Lord says, "I will in no wise cast them out." Something else we notice about this individual who came to Jesus by night, his piety. He was a Pharisee. Being a Pharisee was a very religious man. What did the Lord Jesus say about the Pharisees? Matthew 5, verse 20. "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." And so the Lord Jesus points out here that the scribes and the Pharisees were very religious individuals. He was a religious man, and he was a ruler of the Jews, which means he was part of the 70-member Sanhedrin. The membership of that body was made up or drawn from three religious classes. Matthew 16, verse 21 tells us the chief priests and the scribes and the elders were those that made up the Sanhedrin. So Nicodemus was a very religious man. Yet he did not know a thing about the new birth. A very religious man, yet the road he was traveling was most certainly not taking him to heaven. What did the Lord say to him? The Lord said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And then he really pressed it home and said in verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Nicodemus was a religious man and yet didn't know the first thing about the new birth. He never experienced it. He was religious, yet he wasn't going to heaven. A lot of people think that if you're religious, you are going to heaven. They think that's all that you need is religion. Doesn't matter what kind of religion you have. Well, as long as you've got religion, as you're earnest, you're sincere, doesn't matter what God you worship, as long as you're religious and sincere and earnest about what you're doing, you're going to heaven. No, you're not. You can be religious up to your eyeballs, never see heaven. Never even see heaven. You need to be born again. If you're not born again, then where are you going? What will you see? Where will you enter? You'll not see the kingdom of heaven. You'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That tells me that you'll see the kingdom of darkness, and you'll enter the gates of hell. That's where you'll enter if you're not born again. You don't have to take my word for it. It's the word of the Lord. And then we notice not only the individual who came to Jesus that night, we notice the interest shown in Christ that night. This is what set Nicodemus apart from the others who saw and witnessed the miracles of the Lord. He was the one out of that company. He wanted to know more about the Lord Jesus. And with regard to his interest in the person of Christ that night, notice how he approached Christ. Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night. The same, Nicodemus, came to Jesus. It is good to learn about men and women and children coming to Christ. It's good news when you hear of people coming to Christ. Our good brother, Reverend Fred Greenfield, who just accepted the call to a small work in the town of Dunmurry outside Belfast, had a man come to his meeting last Sabbath day. Came in the morning and he came under conviction of sin. And he came back at night and the church was closed at night. He says, "Not there tonight." And the man came back the next night, which was last Monday night. It was their prayer meeting night. And he came to the prayer meeting and Mr. Greenfield led him to Christ. That's a great encouragement. It's good to hear about people coming to Christ. And here we have this man, Nicodemus, and he came to Christ that night. You'll notice with regard to this meeting and his approach, it was a personal meeting. You notice no one else is mentioned here. We're told that Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus. Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus. Nobody else is mentioned. Just Nicodemus meeting with the Lord. You know, my friend, before any soul can enter into the kingdom of heaven, before a soul can see the kingdom of heaven, they must have a personal meeting with the Lord Jesus. You cannot get into heaven by bypassing Christ. You cannot get into heaven by bypassing the cross. You cannot get into heaven by bypassing the place of sacrifice and the place of suffering. You will never enter heaven without the Lord. Never. Can't be done. It's impossible. For what did the Lord Jesus himself say? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There it is. A personal meeting with the Lord Jesus. That's what Nicodemus had. And my friend, tonight, except you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and meet with him, I'm afraid we'll not see you in heaven. You'll not be there. Yes, we sang tonight, "Meet me there." And the happy golden shore with the faithful part no more, when the storms of life are o'er, meet me there. When the night dissolves away into pure and perfect day, I'm going home to stay. But will I meet you there? I will only meet you there if you have a personal meeting with the Lord Jesus. It's not only a personal meeting, it was a private meeting. The same came to Jesus by night. He came to Jesus by night. Why? Commentators have put forth a number of theories why he came to Jesus by night. But the most common view is that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night because he was afraid. He was afraid of being seen, having any contact or association with the Lord Jesus. He would have been especially afraid of being seen there by any of the fellow members of the Sanhedrin. He wouldn't have wanted any of the scribes and the elders and chief priests to see him having any association with Christ. After all, they were the very about seeking the death of Christ. And I would believe that's the reason why Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus by night, because he was afraid of what others might say. I wonder if many are in a lost eternity tonight because they were afraid. And many have put off coming to Christ because of fear. Afraid of their friends, afraid of their companions, afraid of their workmates. What would they say if I went and told them that I'd become a Christian, given my heart to the Lord Jesus? That's why Nicodemus came at night. I would say tonight to any in the meeting without Christ, don't be afraid of what men say. Fear not him that can destroy, fear him, body and soul in hell. Fear God. See how he approached Christ. We see how he addressed Christ. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. The purpose of Nicodemus' visit that night was not to talk to the Lord Jesus about politics or about state affairs, even though he was a ruler of the Jews, but he was there to speak to him about the concerns he had for his own soul and salvation. And we notice that he got down to business straight away. He spoke about spiritual things immediately. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He began speaking about spiritual matters immediately. And so he comes immediately to the point. And he addresses the Lord Jesus in this way, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Rabbi. That word rabbi means master or a great man. And so Nicodemus came to Christ that night acknowledging that he was a great man, acknowledging him as master. He most certainly spoke highly of Christ, calling him a great man, calling him master. Now Nicodemus, being a Pharisee, of course, knew the law, knew the Word of God. I wonder, did he know and was he familiar with that verse over in Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 20? 19 verse 20, these words are found. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. Savior, great one. Those two words, great one, is the word rabbi. He shall send them a Savior and a rabbi. He'll send them a Savior and a great one. That's how Nicodemus addressed the Lord. Master, great one. So when Nicodemus came to Christ that night, that's how he saw the Lord. He saw him as master. He saw him as Savior. He saw him as a great man. How do you see Christ tonight? How would you address him? Can you address him as Savior? Can you address him as master? Can you address him as great one and greatly to be praised? My friend, the Lord Jesus will be your Savior if you come to him, for he will in no wise cast you out. He will be your master. He will master every sin. He will conquer every vice. He will break every chain. He will be the master of your soul and life. He will be that great one, for he has power to keep you. Oh, you need him tonight. Just as Nicodemus needed him. And we notice also how he acknowledged Christ. Nicodemus acknowledged that he believed that Christ was a teacher come from God and that God was with him. Here we see that he pays attention first of all to the words of Christ. For he said, I believe that thou art a teacher come from God. So he's referring to the words of Christ. Obviously, Nicodemus had been challenged by the words of Christ, believing that he was a teacher come from God. He paid attention to the words of the Lord. My friend, how much attention do you give to the words of Christ? Because they are the words of one who came from God. They're the words of one who is God. And the words that Christ spoke to Nicodemus that night, they were first of all words of life. verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, there's life, there's new life. You cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse 15, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. The words that Christ preached to Nicodemus were words of life. They were also words of love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. They were words of life, and they were words of love, and they were words of light. For verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They were words of light. Christ was the light that came into the world. They were words of love. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And they were words of life. How much attention do you pay to the words of the Lord Jesus? These words of life, these words of love, these words of light. While you sit in darkness, and are destined for a greater darkness and a deeper darkness, Christ will give you light, for he is the light of the world. Nicodemus, not only in acknowledging Christ, spoke about the words of Christ, but the work of Christ, for he said, no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Nicodemus saw the miracle working power of the Lord Jesus changing the lives of men and women in an instant. And he knew that these things could only have been done by one who came from God. They'd been wrought by God. And my friend, the Lord Jesus can change your life in an instant. He can change your life tonight. That's what he specializes in. He specializes in changing the lives of men and women. Changing the lives by his mighty power. He gives hope to the hopeless. He gives peace to the troubled. He gives relief to the burdened. He gives happiness to the sad. He gives life to the dying and comfort to the sorrowing. He changes lives by his miracle working power. And he can change your life tonight. Give attention to his word. For his word will lead you to him. And finally, you have the instruction given by Christ that night. Nicodemus showed a keen interest in the Lord Jesus. Certainly more than that shown by the others who had witnessed his miracles. But merely having an interest in Christ, as we can see from the latter verses of chapter 2, will not take a soul to heaven. Needeth more than an interest. Nicodemus had an interest in the Lord Jesus. And as he came to the Lord Jesus that night, the Lord Jesus instructed him. One, he instructed him in the truth. For he said to Nicodemus, "Verily, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Truly, truly, verse 3. Truly, truly, verse 5. Truly, truly, verse 11. Again and again and again, Jesus gave Nicodemus truth. How many times have you been given the truth? How many times have you heard the truth? How many times has the truth been preached unto you? If you trample underfoot the truth of God, I'll tell you this, my unseer friend, your hell will be two hells. You trample underfoot the truth of God and count it as nothing. The Lord Jesus instructed Nicodemus in the truth. Truly, truly. And then we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee." As though to really emphasize it. You are receiving the truth tonight, Nicodemus, and I'm telling you the truth. For I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to trample underfoot tonight the truth? Are you going to turn your back and turn a deaf ear to the words of the Lord Jesus? I say unto you. Doesn't matter about the preacher. Doesn't matter what you think of me or my words or my preaching. But what do you think of Christ's words and the truth that he declares unto you? Verily, verily, I say unto thee. It was the word that the Lord had for Nicodemus. And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again." It must be true then. It must be true. Because Christ is the one who is speaking. Christ is the one who said this. Are you going to tell the Lord Jesus you don't believe him? Would you dare to say the Lord Jesus tonight, "I don't believe thy word"? May the Lord have mercy on you. He instructed him in the truth. And with regard to this instruction, you have his thoughts, the thoughts of Nicodemus. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Here you have the thoughts of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, when he expressed his thoughts, revealed his ignorance. Because the Lord Jesus said to him in verse 10, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" Once he expressed his thoughts, he revealed his ignorance. And when it comes to religious matters and when it comes to salvation and the things of God, and people express their thoughts on these subjects, they reveal their ignorance. You've heard it, haven't you? Well, I don't think that if I do the best I can, that the Lord would cast me into it. I don't think that would be the case. Anyone who says that reveals their ignorance. Well, I think that if I do the best I can, and I'm a very religious, upright individual, I'll enter into the kingdom of heaven. When someone expresses their thoughts, they reveal their ignorance. And Nicodemus revealed his ignorance. He didn't know a thing about the new birth. You can express your thoughts about salvation and the things of God, but if they're not in keeping with Scripture, then your thoughts are not worth that. You need Christ. And the Lord Jesus said he must be born again. That's what he said. Said you must, and you have the teaching. So the Lord Jesus said in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," which is reference to the Word, Ephesians 5:26, "and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In other words, the Lord was teaching Nicodemus, you need a new nature. You need a spiritual nature. You need to be born of the Spirit. For the old nature will not get you into heaven. You need a new nature. You need to be made a new man. As Paul said, need a new work of creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I didn't write these words. You must be born again. Are the words of Christ. And as I've said, it doesn't matter what I say, but it does matter what Christ says. And the Lord Jesus says to you tonight, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord and gracious, loving Father, we come before the Savior's name, thy word. This word, it's a living word. We dare not trample it underfoot. We dare not a deaf ear to thy voice. We do go at peril. For even as we read Scripture today, if you hear thy voice, harden not as in the day of provocation. Lord, we thank thee that the truth has gone out tonight. We pray, Lord, that some will embrace the truth as spoken by the Lord Jesus. Lord, answer prayer as we go our various ways. We thank thee for being with us today in the Lord's house. We ask thee, Lord, we ask all Savior's name. So the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.